I'm Kara Roselle, and this is Made by Many, where I talk with friends and peers about their inspirations, motivations, and more. As always, hoping this finds you where you are.
This Monday on Made by Many, entrepreneur, founder of August and Leo Skin, and author of Love Me Like the Stars, Alicia. Alicia, thank you so much for coming onto my podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited that you asked me to do this.
Of course. I'm excited to have you on. Tell me a little bit more about your background.
I am an influencer. That's mainly what I do. I started in 2014 by accident. It was not my initial goal in life, but it happened by accident, and it's a happy accident because it just led to so many other opportunities and opened the doors to so many other different things that I'm even currently experiencing. But from there, I started a clothing line and then recently launched my skincare brand, August and Leo Skin, last August. I also write on the side. I published a poetry book, Love Me Like the Stars, like you mentioned, in 2018. Yeah, I'm just always looking to create something. I don't like sticking to one box. I'm always open to anything that allows my creativity to shine.
That kind of just like reminds me of my energy. And though sometimes to other people, I think it can maybe seem like a bit like scattered or chaotic, it's nice to kind of dip into different creative realms and like express yourself in those different ways.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder if I do too much because but it's like, like you said, it's like that scattered and chaotic, but it, for me, like it doesn't feel that way. It just feels like I'm doing what I love and that's what I'm meant to be doing. So it doesn't feel like I have too many eggs in the basket because those are all my eggs. And I want to take care of all of my eggs. So it's interesting, and just trying to find that balance is also interesting, but I love it.
I'm curious, actually, what is your astrological sign?
A Leo. I'm a Leo.
Okay.
Yeah, my birthday is in August. Leo, Sun, Libra, Rising, Pisces, Moon. So I kind of have this very good balance and energy as well.
Interesting. I feel like a little bit, like it seems like our energies are like kind of similar, but I have completely different. I'm Aries, Sun, Scorpio rising with an Aquarius moon. I definitely wanted to get into August and Leo skincare because I think that's how I was first introduced to you. I mean, like with almost everybody that I'm meeting nowadays, it's online somehow or through social media. But I had tried the CC Glow Serum from your line, which I actually really love. Like I use it almost every day as like my serum. Awesome. Saw the account and then saw that you were the founder of the account and then we connected. But I'm just curious about what that process was like of starting a skincare line, and it's a clean skincare line, which is amazing.
I came up with this idea about 2-ish years ago, maybe 3. I'm always thinking of something, but it all stems from things that I truly love and am passionate about. And skincare is definitely one of them. Growing up, I had acne and I had pretty bad acne. And we all know how that affects people's self-esteem and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just realized that I never really had any products that worked for me. Even with my acne, I had to go on Accutane when I was 25, 26. But even then I had like hyperpigmentation and the scarring. And it just hit me like, I don't really have anything that really works for me in my skin. Because, you know, my skin is different. I'm Black and I'm Puerto Rican. So I have like the best of both worlds. And that struggle with my skin was definitely something that affected my confidence. And then just looking at the market, like if you go into Sephora and really think about it, like how many of those brands are owned by Black people or brown people? Creating August and Leo Skin was definitely out of necessity. There aren't that many Black, Indigenous people of color in the clean beauty space as it is. I know within the past, I would say like 8 months, I've seen a lot of brands come up that are owned by Black founders, which is amazing. So I definitely wanted to recognize inclusivity in skincare products and just set out to have this mission where I create solutions that promote skin health rather than skin perfection. Because for me, it's not about skin perfection. I definitely didn't want to create a brand where I'm selling this promise of like, you're going to have poreless skin. Because that's like, that's the fluff that a lot of major brands have. Yeah. And I don't believe that. And although, of course, I believe in like, you know, being realistic and having realistic expectations. Not everything's like an overnight solution. But for my brand, I definitely want to be more authentic and transparent and like this, I believe in this product and I know that it can enhance your skin health. Mm-hmm. And not just come out with like, oh, it's gonna be, your skin's gonna be poreless. This is gonna take care of your skin overnight. So I don't want to make promises like that because I know everyone's skin is different, first of all, and secondly, it's not very realistic to have as an expectation when it comes to skincare.
Like, there's so much pressure to like look like filtered photos, and oftentimes, if products or brands are promising that your skin's going to be like glass or perfect, oftentimes those are products that are really harsh on your skin. They're like, it's nice to see this more natural and down to earth approach.
Right. Yeah. And the vitamin C that I use in my serum is very gentle on the skin. Mm-hmm. It's not harsh like ascorbic acid. I've used those in the past, like the powders. Oh my gosh. First of all, they're messy. And secondly, they're very harsh on the skin. And people don't realize that in the longer you use that, like, the more damage you can do to your skin. Mm-hmm. So my model is definitely skin health first, not for skin perfection, and not having to take these drastic measures to have perfect skin. And then also stem from experience that I had with an esthetician. I got a chemical peel done and it was like the worst mistake of my life because it was so harsh on my skin that like I literally had like burn spots on my face. And I was like, what is this? Like, why? You're supposed to be the professional. And you know, it's interesting because so many, like, even estheticians don't, well, they should understand that Black people have different skin. Like, our skin is not the same. So it's just trying to navigate that too and being more conscious of my choices and the information that I was receiving from people that are supposed to be professionals and supposed to know more than me, but making sure that I tap into my own knowledge and do my own research as well.
Sometimes it is overwhelming, the amount of like research or the consideration that you have to take as like a Black or a biracial woman, because many places don't have you in mind or consider your skin type. I've heard a bunch of things about like face peels, because I feel like I heard about them when I was younger and heard like Lindsay Lohan got one or something because her freckles had gone away and her skin was just
different. Oh, wow.
I remember like being curious about it, but my mom being like, you probably should never do that. Your skin is sensitive and you have Black skin.
Different. So. Yeah. People are doing all these different things to their skin and you're like, I can't do that. Like, that's not for me.
You also touched on hyperpigmentation, and that is another thing, because I do know other skin types and other people of different like ethnicities scar as well. But I think that it's very common when you have Black or pigmented skin, like you not only have the issue of the breakout, but you have then the like healing process and scarring. And I also struggle with hyperpigmentation. Like the vitamin C product that you have has been great and natural. I've noticed increase of skin clearing, and it's never been uncomfortable and it's never made me like break out or have adverse effects, but hyperpigmentation can be a battle.
It definitely can. And that's why I love my serum so much, because of the vitamin C that I do use, which is sodium ascorbyl phosphate, which is SAP for short. It's just gentle and it's a 1% dose. So it's not overly strong, but it's just enough to make a difference. And like I said, it's not an overnight difference. And these things take time depending on your skin type and how your skin personally reacts to the formula. But I do love it because it also helps with breakouts. And I still do get the occasional breakout. And I know when I use my serum, it decreases the hyperpigmentation that could come along afterwards and just nicely clears up my skin. I believe in my product and I love that I initially started with this one product. And I do have other products in the pipeline, but I didn't want to overwhelm people. And I also wanted to take it as an educational moment too, not just for myself, but other people, being more conscious of the products that you're using and putting on your skin and actually learning about the ingredients instead of taking a brand's word for it. Because you can definitely see like those fluff words that major brands use, and it's all about marketing for them. And I didn't want to create something where it's like, oh, this is just like a marketing tactic to make money. This is something I truly believe in and stand by.
I think I definitely noticed too that you started with the one product, which I think is nice, and you do learn from that rollout. I wanted to talk more about the process of like that product from like thought to production and how it was to kind of launch this, your own line?
It began with doing research on different factories and then also with different ingredients. And luckily I did find a manufacturer or a product that just came together very nicely working with chemists who are very knowledgeable. And because I always knew I love serums, like serums are huge in my routine. And I know that if there's anything that can work, it's a serum. So I definitely wanted to create something that would work, that was effective and was safe. And I'm thankful that I'm someone that's resourceful and I love knowledge. So it's like constantly learning and constantly just absorbing all this information. The process was interesting and also very fun. It's like, wow, I'm creating this product. So having them back me up with the product was great. And then I could focus on like the marketing, the PR, the design of like the product box. Like those are things, all things that I did. And I take great pride in that because it's so fun. I love creating. I love designing. So being able to just intertwine all these different aspects of the things that I love was just amazing. Yeah. And that's what I love about being an entrepreneur is just like tapping into the things that, one, you're naturally good at, but then also it's a learning experience. And yes, you're just learning all these different things that just help you grow and help you become better. And it's also nerve-wracking too, because you don't know how people are going to respond once you put in, like once you present to the world your baby, the things that you've been working on for years or months, and it's like, oh, I hope they like it.
I totally get that. Yeah, I definitely see it growing. I feel like I've already seen it grow, and I think I tried it out like when it was relatively new. I feel the same way about, I guess, doing like entrepreneurial activities. And even with this podcast, it's not just, I want to put a podcast out. Like I really enjoy connecting with people. I love editing. I'm learning about like RSS feeds and everything else that's like behind the scenes of podcasting and websites and uploading to different like feeds into different networks, which is really like, it's so interesting to learn to be like multifaceted in that way.
Yeah. And I think it's so important if you want to be a successful entrepreneur. I don't, you know, it's all about, do you have like a thirst for the knowledge? Do you have the tenacity? Are you okay with taking risks? Can you be dedicated to this? And I have so many people ask me, how do you do it? Mm-hmm. And I always respond, I just make the decision to do it. Like there's no hesitancy about it, really.
Yeah,
it's just okay. Yeah, it's just deciding to do it. That's the first step, and then just putting your all into it from there.
Do you ever find that there are times that you, I mean, you just said that for the most part you really just have the drive and commitment, but do you ever find there are times of being nervous or like wavering on a decision, even if it's not rethinking the whole decision to do a project, but like little things and how you overcome that?
I do feel that way, but I think for me, it comes from a place of I'm being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge deal for me. Because like with I think back on my poetry book, it was very personal for me and also very therapeutic. And I'm putting it out into the world and sharing my story and sharing my words. Mm-hmm. And that was like, oh my gosh, should I even be writing this? but I knew I had to write it and I knew I wanted to. But it's just always that in the back of the mind, how will people respond? But at the end of the day, realizing this is who I am and I'm being authentic and I'm being transparent. And I think as long as you're being authentic, that's all that matters at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, different people will respond in different ways, but there's always going to be at least one person that you reach. I don't regret anything. I'm just doing what I love and this is what I'm passionate about. And I know that I'm doing it for the right reasons. And like you said about being purposeful, I always believe in being purposeful with whatever it is that I create, even down to my feed. Like I'm not an influencer that just posts to post. Everything is very methodical and I want to hopefully inspire. And I just, you know, want to show people that I'm authentic too, and that I'm a real person as well. And that behind all of these layers of what you see an influencer as, I'm a Black woman who experiences the same thing as anyone else. So I do keep like a private life, which I'm sure most people can tell.
Most people I follow, I see your life and see things on your feed, but I don't see you waking up and personal. Little things.
Yeah. I have boundaries. For me, it also stems back to energy. I'm very particular about my energy and what I invest my time and energy into and how I share that. Unless you know me in person, most people don't see or know a lot of things. Like, they don't know that I'm a mom to two teenagers. It's just, I like to keep some things private just for myself. Because I don't feel, personally for me, I don't feel like I want to overshare or invite everyone into my entire world.
Yeah.
And I think it's special just to keep some things to yourself. I don't believe that everything should be public per se, but I try to at least touch base on real world matters. I think I manage that balance pretty good, in having up the right boundaries at the right time. I was actually thinking if I should share more about like my mom life and things that I've experienced. I know people are curious because I can see him as like this enigma. Like, who is she? What did she do outside of work?
There is something nice about, I guess, the allure, but if it's really about if you're comfortable sharing it. And I'm sure if you did, it would be an opportunity for people to connect or relate with you further. But there's, of course, no pressure. And if most people don't know anyway, like, there's no pressure to share it.
I have like these great friends who are also influencers, and they share like their entire day, or they'll share like more personal aspects. And I sometimes wonder if I should be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess for right now, it's not time for me to do that.
Yeah.
I think there are more important things in the world going on other than like what I ate today. So I try to focus on the things that really matter and that are just affecting everyone as a whole. Because I definitely don't believe being in one of those influencers who shy away from hard topics or just outright refuse to acknowledge what is happening in the world.
I think you do a good job of that. And I mean, as Black women, it makes sense that we would be aware of the social injustices and want to speak up on it. But I mean, it's surprising because there are some that have not or will not. But I have seen like you post a lot about that, which is always amazing to just use any type of platform you have to bring awareness to what is going on in the world that we live in and the country we live in and like in specific communities that we just like experience racism on a different levels every single day. But I kind of feel the same way as you. I think I may share a bit more of my personal life at times, but I feel like when I start to do that, and it's been a couple of days or a few days even, it starts to feel not sustainable. It feels like I'm like not living, I'm not being present, but I know that's different for everybody.
Sometimes I feel guilty. Like if I don't say something, is that wrong of me? And I know it's not possible to. Yeah, and I know it's not possible to speak up on every single little thing. And I think also as Black people, but Black women especially, just experiencing, it's like every day there's racial trauma, and it's like a constant reminder on the news. Like, don't watch the news, but just on Instagram, like you constantly see, oh, here's another Black person that got shot. Oh, here's another person that's sitting in jail for this ridiculous amount of time for something that they're innocent of. And it's constant.
It is. It's really every day, almost.
Every day. And I realized that I try to not be on Instagram every single day. I'm just trying to be more mindful of the information that I'm also consuming. So it's definitely a struggle because it's like a constant weight on your shoulders, and it feels like something you can't escape almost.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be more present in my personal life and just try to hold on to those moments of joy, and because that's also a form of self-care. So it's taking care of yourself as well and making sure that you're experiencing joy and you're not getting too caught up in the sadness that's out there. So it's like your hands are tied. Like, what can you do besides sign a petition or donate or spread the word or make that phone call? Because even once you do all that, it's like, but it still is like the problem's not solved. It's just carrying that weight constantly. And I think that's my battle right now, is there's just so many people out there that need help. And sometimes it just feels like there's nothing else that you can do. And that's the troubling aspect about our social justice and criminal justice system. So it could be frustrating.
For sure.
It's definitely frustrating.
I saw or read like a story or a post or both from Rachel Cargill maybe this past week. I don't remember if it was about the coup or about some other like adjacent or completely unrelated event, but basically something that would be traumatic really for like Black people. She was talking about how, I mean, she realizes she can't speak on every single thing. And like she has such a following where people will like message her and people are messaging her like, can you speak up about this? Can you say this? Say something about this.
Yeah.
And she's like, sometimes like, I don't want to be getting that in my inbox directly. Like if I choose to share something, that's great. But I can't always, sometimes I just like need to grieve over what's happening and I can't always be the voice. And like you said, like opposite of grieving, just taking time to yourself and finding joy. And I think it's hard to feel like if we do have some sort of platform, like we could say something, but I think there's also some solace in realizing that I'm sure like there are so many people that also have a platform that are like somebody at one point is going to be speaking up about it. So I feel like we kind of pass the baton in a weird way, like in an unspoken way.
Yeah, true.
So people like it's going to be shared and we shouldn't beat ourselves up for, or feel guilty for not being able to be the voice for everything because we have to fill ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm so grateful for Black women, especially like Rachel Cargill and Instagram, such as you. So you want to talk about, they bring up those things that, first of all, they're able to articulate very well. And I'm so grateful for people like that because I don't think I could do that every single day. It's hard. It's very hard because it's that grieving aspect. It's like once you're trying to grieve from one thing and then something else happens and then something else happens. So it's this constant state and this constant flux of up and down and grieving about this one person, then this other person. It's as Black people, as a collective, we all feel that pain and we all feel that trauma, and it's depressing sometimes, you know. It's a constant battle and a struggle to try to find that balance of trying to do social good, I would say. So yeah, I'm thankful that I would say the majority of my following is on board with what it is that I speak on. So I rarely come across anyone that tries to question my judgment or my character for that matter, or what it is that I'm sharing. So I'm also thankful for that.
Yeah, I feel like I gained a lot of my following like during the time of like great unrest. So a lot of people are on board, but it's nice to know that your audience is, and maybe the people that weren't before that have continued to follow you have been like learning and sticking around, you know?
Yeah. And I think ever since last June, where so much was revealed just on all aspects, I knew when I was finding out that other brands were being racist and all of these different things, they weren't being transparent, they weren't being authentic. It was just all a show. So I knew with my brand, I was like, you know what, I'm doing the right thing and I'm launching it at a great time where I do want to be authentic and I don't want to be like these other brands who don't have any Black people on their staff, which is baffling to me when they were revealing these numbers. And I'm like, holy cow, like what? These are brands that I was supporting, and to know that
what
they just completely disregarded an entire race. Like, how do you not notice that? I just feel like there's no excuse for that. So I definitely want to be a brand that wants to do social good, that wants to give back. Plan for this year is every quarter to donate to an organization or charity that's committed to social justice. And taking a percentage of sales to contribute to that. So I definitely want to be a purposeful brand as well and just continue to remain authentic and transparent in everything it is that I do. That's what's great about having a small brand. You can run it the way that you want to and be more personable and be more, just more aware of what's happening and how it affects your customers and what they might be going through and that sort of thing. You can take that and make it more than just about skincare, but also making it about doing good out in the world.
I think that's so admirable. And going back to when you were talking about the, just everybody kind of getting shown for who they are. I feel like you know of the account Diet Prada, but I feel like They were definitely
one of my favorites.
Yeah. They were outing so many like individuals and companies alike. And it just felt like almost like every day it was like, all right, this company does
new reveal about
us. And it was nice though, because we kind of saw, at least for me, I was like, okay, I know where to not spend my money. Like, that's great. Because really money, I mean, in our country, like the way everything is set up in a capitalist and patriarchal society, like money talks.
Yeah.
And realizing that, like cutting that off, that like people listen to that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also about accountability too. So I wasn't very surprised to see like so many brands post about Black Lives Matter and posting their little black squares. And then 6 months later, they're not making the change. You know, there are some brands that took immediate action, and then there are some brands who still have yet to take action. And I believe that there's no excuse for that. It's, you said you're going to do something, it needs to be immediate. Like, you have the power to make it immediate. This is not like a, well, we'll see as time goes by. Granted, I know some things, especially with the pandemic, hiring is kind of at a halt for many brands, you know, understandable. But other things, like hiring black models, you need models, so hire black ones. Like, what's the delay in that? You have a product that you're selling, so why are you not hiring black models and being more inclusive? So it's interesting to see who's still faking it and who's really true to what they say.
And inclusivity as well with influencer partnerships and things like that. Like, those are things that can be done pretty quickly. I remember getting some emails, and I would always like kind of see what the brand's messaging was, like see if they had spoken out during that time. And there were quite a few who I received communication from who really didn't say anything on the matter, on racial injustices and everything. And I would email them back and say, like, I appreciate you thinking of me. I didn't see that you addressed this at all. Like, what is your stance on this? And some of them came back and had an explanation, or were saying that they were trying to diversify and whatnot. But some like didn't answer, and that was very telling. But did you did you receive an influx of like interest for partnerships and things like that last year?
Yeah, I did. Each one of them addressed the matter. They would say, you know, we believe in Black Lives Matter, and we really want to try to make a difference. So I'm shocked that you were receiving information from people that wouldn't address that or wouldn't even respond to me, trying to hold them accountable.
Like 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's a good amount. Wow. That's interesting. And then I also received a lot of emails from people who wanted a partnership but didn't want to pay.
Yeah.
And that's another issue where it's like, okay, you want to diversify, you want to expand, but also pay me. Pay me what you pay my counterpart, because I know that you're paying.
They get paid.
You know, it's, you know, the influencer world is big, but it's also very small. So, you know what brands are paying, and for them to reach out and say that, oh, well,
we don't have a budget.
Right, like they don't have a budget, or they try to justify not offering you payments, which is also like gaslighting. So it's like, I know I'm worth it. Like, do you not know the brands that I have worked with? Like, I've been in this business for too long to continue to accept this. Like, because this is part of the problem too. It's not just giving opportunity to Black women or Black men, from Black and brown people, but it's also paying us what we're worth. Sometimes I just kind of laugh, like, you want me to do 7 posts for in exchange for like a couple of pieces of clothing? I don't think so. I'm not desperate for clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm not desperate for product. Like, I'm good on that front. So what you're offering has to be more valuable than, like, you need me more than I need you right now. So
I'm thinking of one right now. I'm trying to think of how to word this. I doubt anybody from that team or brand will listen, but like had received an inquiry about who a brand that did speak up, but they wanted like content. So they were asked, they're like doing a new campaign, a launch of something, and wanted X amount of photo assets, video, but it was like a lot. It was kind of like a sheet of of requirements, and they didn't send over like that they had any budget for anything. And I had asked then, I was like, yeah, like this is interesting. Like, is this a paid opportunity? And then at that point they like offered monetary compensation, which was like pretty decent. But I feel like if I hadn't had asked, they would have seen if they could just do it for free and maybe for some product.
You know, they'll see if you, they will test you and see if you'll ask.
They'll fill you out.
And that's where, yeah, exactly. And I think that if you don't have management that will speak up for you, that you definitely have to be the one to say, hey, stand up for yourself. Like, this is amazing. It sounds like a great opportunity. I think it'd be a perfect fit. Is there a budget that you have in mind? So learning how to word those things and trying to be like respectful, of course, at the same time.
How do you find yourself sticking to or being authentic when you do get valid like partnership opportunities? How do you kind of like keep it real with those?
Thankfully, I have a management team the vetting for me, I guess you'd say. So they will be the ones to talk with the brands, and also they're well aware of my stance. Like, I only want to work with brands that are truly dedicated to wanting to make a difference and not just, you know, just having a Black influencer to fill in a spot because that's what they really need, but because they actually want to make a difference. So, but before I had my management team, it was definitely challenging because I just always felt like I wasn't getting paid what I should have been getting paid. You know, I found myself doing a lot of things that I think back on, like, should I have done that partnership? But it's a learning experience. It's really a learning experience, and just making sure that I am aligning with brands that are authentic and aren't just trying to use me for a filler space, you know? Mm-hmm. But like I said, now that I have a management team, it's been great because the opportunities that they come to me with align with who I am. So also I can just, so that I can focus on what I do best, which is creating. So like, I've come such a long way. It's like, I'm so glad that I have people in my corner, because I did things by myself for so long. So it's nice to now start incorporating different people into my vision and just being able to focus on growth and evolving.
I find myself trying to find balance, I guess, like as a person that freelances, because it's, you learn a lot about yourself and you learn a lot about creating your own structure.
It's hard. And I don't think people give enough credit to creators either. And it's not just like influencers, but like photographers, mm-hmm. people that are putting content out there. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's from the first initial contact, like the emails, managing the emails, the photography aspect, or if you're doing videos. I don't do videos as much. I can only imagine how much time goes into that, because I spend so much time just on photos. Yeah. So trying to find that balance is definitely challenging. And if you're able to have a team that helps you, all the better. Even with myself, like, I'm definitely someone that's like, want something done right, do it yourself. So I've mm-hmm. always had that grind of, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. But then recently realizing I can't do everything. So if you're able to have other people in your corner that can help you, that share the same vision, especially, that definitely makes all the difference.
Yeah, that's something that's beautiful, and being able to like relinquish that control. And of course, I mean, having your opinion and knowing your direction, but being able to trust others around you, it's definitely important.
Just being open to hearing what other people have to say, which I think for a long time was hard for me. Being vulnerable and realizing, you know what, I can't do everything, and that's okay. I don't have to do it all.
Yeah. I'm liking to ask all of my guests, who and or what keeps you going?
Oh, for this, I would definitely say who keeps me going are my boys. They are 15 and 17. It's been a long journey for all of us. just, you know, I had my oldest when I was 18. So definitely a learning experience. Obviously, when you bring a child into the world, but just trying to navigate that balance and knowing that everything I do is for them. I want them to live in a better world. I want them to know that their mom spot injustices. I want them to see that I work hard. Kids are watching. They watch all the time and they're absorbing all of this information. So it's very important for me to show them that I'm not just standing by, not doing anything, that I'm making a difference, that I want to make a difference, and that I'm going after my dreams. I think it's so important to also go after your dreams and do what makes you happy. So making them happy makes me happy, and they're my everyday motivation for everything it is that I do. I just want them to be proud of me too, obviously. And when they grow up and they have kids, I want them to be the same kind of example. So just being like a guiding light and making sure that what they're seeing and what they're absorbing is in alignment to do good in the world.
I was just smiling like the whole time you were answering that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a cheesy response, but
no,
it's like
not
when
at all.
You have kids, it really is all about them and just showing them that you can make a difference, even if it's in a small way, you know? So everything's about purpose for me. It's funny because I think back when I was a kid, I always thought like, I always knew that I wanted to do something that was purposeful. Strange how it all comes full circle. You just feel like you know that you're on the right path. It's like divine guidance, you know?
Yeah.
Like you just feel it like in your soul, like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's great. It's great.
Yeah. Even just, I mean, following you from afar, you're definitely doing purposeful work, like living purposefully. And I think you're setting that example for them for sure.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for caring and following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. And I want to also give the opportunity for anyone listening to be able to find you. So where can people find you?
So on my Instagram, it's at Alesia, A-L-E-S-I-A, Carter, X-O. That's where you'll find me. And then my bio has the link to my brand pages and my poetry book. So here I'm at.
It was so great to talk to you. I can't wait to see what you do next and what August and Leo Skin does next. It was just great to get to chat with you.
Thank you so much. This has been fun.